is so huge blessing. It's so precious. A good friend that you have been for many years, the one who really understands you well. I have a couple of them. We have been friends for a couple of decades, and we have shared so many years and memories, and I don't have to explain what I'm thinking and what I'm going through, because I feel like they read my mind even before I speak to them. So just talking with them and seeing their face, even on cell phone, that gives me comfort and peace. I love it. And I think we may find that comfort and peace even more than that. We find that peace and comfort when we think about Jesus, because Jesus knows what we are thinking, and Jesus understands all our anxiety, frustration, agony, and even fear that we are having this season, because Jesus, He has been there. He has been there. So we have been talking about John's Gospel and learning how John presents Jesus in a slightly different way from the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Sometimes the same story is told in a different way by John, because John's primary focus is not to give us exactly what happened. It is sort of Mark. If you want to see historical Jesus, you may read Mark's Gospel. But instead, John is trying to help us to think, what does it mean to us? Who is really Jesus to us? What does it mean to believe Jesus? What change can we have once we believe Jesus? With that in mind, today we're going to talk about the arrest of Jesus and a little bit of Jesus' crucifixion. So let's talk about the arrest of Jesus. So Jesus had the Last Supper with the disciples in the upper room. We have talked about that, what Jesus said and what he did around the table in the past 2 weeks. So after the supper was over, maybe it was about 9 or 10 p.m. in the night, Jesus and his disciples, they left the upper room, and they went to the Mount Olives. And they came to a place which is called Gethsemane. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you remember Jesus comes with his disciples, and he tells them, okay guys, you stay here and pray. Then Jesus walked a little bit further, and he began to pray in the garden. And three times he gets up from prayer and goes back and find his disciples doing what? They were sleeping. Maybe it was like a routine prayer for Jesus. Routine prayer. But Jesus today seemed to act a little bit weird. He seems to be distressed and agitated. In Mark's Gospel, Jesus says, I am deeply grieved, even to death. And he threw himself on the ground and he prayed that he might be spared the time of suffering. And of course, we read this prayer of the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Father, let this cup pass from me. What is the cup he's talking about? It is suffering and death on the cross. He's saying in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, God, I don't want to go there. I don't want to die on the cross. Please find another way. Yet, not my will, but thy will be done. Because Jesus knows the suffering, pain, and agony. That is what Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they are saying. The humanity of Jesus comes out there. That is what we feel in this time, the pain and agony. But when you try to turn to John's Gospel, you are not going to find any of that. You don't find the humanity of Jesus at the moment. Jesus is kind of showing us another one. John is kind of saying, wait a minute. Yes, Jesus is fully human. Yes, he experienced all the agony and grieving. But let me tell you guys, this is Jesus who is God in the flesh, the divinity. And God has come among us in Jesus Christ. So John doesn't have the sin of the painful prayer at the Garden of Gethsemane, but instead he has the sin after the prayer that Jesus says, "Am I not to drink the cup that the Father has given to me?" So we don't have the sin of the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane in John, but you read Judah. He shows up with a Roman cohort. A cohort. When it describes the soldiers, John chapter 18 uses a Greek vocabulary terminology, spera. Spera. It is a technical term that was used for a certain unit of Roman soldiers. So many commentaries and books, and even Wikipedia, they say a cohort was typically about 400 to 800 armed soldiers. Yes, you heard me right. 400 to 800. So let's say 600. 600 armed Roman soldiers. So John is saying that 600 trained and armed soldiers show up to arrest Jesus. I want you to imagine that. I want you to imagine that any criminal that would have 600 police officers to try to arrest him. I don't know how many police officers we have in our Whiteside County, probably less than 600. So let's say all of the police officers in our Whiteside County and Carroll County and Lee County all combined, they are all together chasing one person. That is the picture we have in our scripture reading. So you may say, this person must be a very dangerous and very powerful person if 600 police officers are, chasing him. And it happened to Jesus on that night. And John is showing us a totally different picture that 600 trained Roman soldiers chasing and trying to arrest him after the prayer, while Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us about the pain and agony of Jesus before the prayer. Then what happened next? Jesus knew everything that was about to happen. And he went out and asked them, "Who are you looking for? Who are you looking for?" And they answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." And he replied, "I am. I am he." When he said, "I am he," they shrank back and fell to the ground. Do you see that? What is John trying to say? What is John trying to emphasize? 600 soldiers fall back with fear when Jesus speaks. John wants to make sure, yes, Jesus is very human. Jesus was grounding and agonizing there at some point, but Jesus is strong and powerful, and he is not afraid of anybody. When I'm walking through something really hard, when I think about what's happening around us with the coronavirus, I kind of want to do denial. We talked about the denial 2 weeks ago because it's too big and scary. And I say, God, please tell me it's not real. Please tell me it's not really happening. Or it's my nightmare. When I wake up, it's not actually happening. Or, God, I don't want to do that. It's really scary. Then, I'm turning to Matthew, Mark, and Luke. There I find Jesus, who understands what we are thinking and what we are feeling, the suffering and pain and fear. Jesus indeed understands what we are feeling in this season. But there are moments that I need to turn to John and find Jesus, who is strong, powerful, and mighty, who is not afraid and who is in control. And Jesus promises that no matter what happens, he is still going to carry you and me through this hardship. And I think we need both images of Jesus. The one before the prayer of Gethsemane in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, who truly understand where we are and what we are feeling as human beings. And the other one after the prayer of the Gethsemane in John, who is strong and in charge of things happening. So which image of Jesus do you need at this moment? The thing is, we need both of them right now in our faith journey. So after the soldiers shrank back, it is like him saying, I know you come to arrest me. He knows what's happening. And I want to read the trial and the passion of Jesus Christ this week as we have the Holy Week. And I want to notice the differences of Jesus carrying his cross between Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. In the Synoptic Gospel, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, who carries Jesus' cross? A man named Simon of Cyrene. He happened to be there in the crowd during the Passover, and he was forced to carry the cross of Jesus. Jesus was beaten down so bad, and Jesus couldn't carry the cross, so a Roman soldier forced Simon to carry Jesus' cross. And who carries the cross in John's Gospel? Jesus himself. It is not a matter of who carried the cross here and there. Jesus probably carried his cross himself at some point, and then he couldn't carry it anymore, and he dropped it. And we have Simon. John tells us that Jesus, who is beaten nearly to death, picked up his cross, which was probably more than 100 pounds. Somebody say more than 135 pounds. And he began to carry it to the place where he was crucified. And what is John trying to tell us? Jesus is strong. Jesus is courageous. He picks up the instrument of his own death, and he embraces it himself because he is on a mission. He knew he was going to be nailed to it and die on it. That is a part of the plan, his plan, and that's why he came to save us. And I believe it is the message that God is saying to each one of us. It really speaks to us. And there are the moments that when I look at the cross, what I see is the love, how much God loves you and me. To me, God is speaking to you and me through Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ's cross. This much I love you. This much I love you. Even to the person who feels unloved, who feels like nobody cares about you, Jesus is saying on the cross, this much I love you. That is the profound message
that has the power to change your life and my life. When I think about the picture of Jesus on the cross, I think about the idea of Jesus, idea of God suffering with us. And God understands our pain, anxiety, and suffering. And Jesus is Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And I love the way Apostle Paul describes the death of Jesus. He says, the message about the cross. It might be foolishness to the people who don't believe. You don't believe in Jesus? That's nothing to you. That means nothing to you. But to the people, you and me, who believe in Jesus, who have hope in Jesus, it is the power of God. It is the power of God. So when I look at the cross, when we see the cross, we see love, grace, forgiveness, strength, compassion, a new beginning, and a second chance. It is about the salvation from the past, salvation from ourselves, and salvation from the broken world, and a different way forward, how we are meant to live our lives, your lives, and my life. And I see God's grace and mercy, which we cannot earn by ourselves, but which is already given to us. And the cross is our defining story. The cross is your and my defining story as followers of Jesus Christ. And the ultimate message of this story is there is always hope. There is always salvation in our lives through Jesus Christ. So let's find it. And let's live it with this amazing love. Amen.